ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Your coworker asks you to stay back and help them with a presentation for their client, but you have dinner plans with your extended family and it's been in your diary for months. Boundary alert! Hello, Lisa Leong here for This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. What would you do when faced with that dilemma? Do you put work first or keep the commitment to your family? And actually, why does your colleague think it's okay to ask for your help in the first place? In this episode, you're going to learn how to set boundaries at work and how to maintain them. It'll be good for you and your boss, I promise. All right, we'd love to hear from you. How do you go with setting boundaries at work? Your stories and questions are both welcome. You can email thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. Nedra Glover-Tawab is a therapist and the author of Set Boundaries, Find Peace, which is a New York Times bestseller. Welcome, Nedra.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So can we start by defining a boundary in a work context, Nedra?
Boundaries are the rules and expectations in which we operate in life and especially at work.
And what's an example of where we might not have a boundary at work that you've seen, particularly in your experience with dealing with people and their problems, Nedra?
Yeah, one of the bigger boundary issues we tend to have is cutting off work, stopping work at a particular time, knowing when our work day ends. That is a huge boundary challenge for many of us. I would say it was certainly exacerbated in the pandemic when we were working at home and, you know, doing everything else at home. But many of us still have a lot of practices where we get off work, we go home, we check in, we have the work email on our phone. So we're working 24/7 instead of 40 hours a week.
And how do we know when it's a boundary that's been violated?
When you're trying to have dinner with your family and you're checking work emails, or when you're trying to wind down and maybe watch a TV show and you're like, I have to just get back on and get through this little project. That is an indicator that we have not stopped working yet.
And is there a feeling associated when that boundary or even before you've identified the boundary, when something is awry?
Yeah, I would say we feel frustrated and pulled in many directions. And let's face it, there are some jobs where we need to work in the evenings. But even with that, we can have some rules and structure for ourselves. Maybe it's we sit through dinner mindfully. We pay attention to dinner. Then after dinner, after the cleanup, we check in to work for a little bit for a designated time.
And Nedra, is a work boundary in any way different to a boundary that you might set in another part of your life?
Oh, yes. I think in other parts of your life, the boundaries can be more flexible. I think with work, sometimes we are beholden to the overall boundary of the company or the client. We have to think about what the system needs. And sometimes that is our flexibility. And there are other times when we are being flexible when it's not needed.
In what circumstance do you mean by that?
You know, I talk to people sometimes who say that they worked on vacation, which is fine if you want to work on vacation. But if you're wanting to vacate and you're still working, that's probably a problem that there aren't any other people in place to do your job, or that you feel so much pressure to even, you know, step away and still do your job well.
I feel like so many people struggle with this. I struggle with this. So what are your three steps for setting boundaries at work?
Oh, gosh. My three steps is to figure out what the boundaries need to be. What are the boundaries? What am I feeling frustrated about? What is bothering me? What is causing me work-life balance issues? The next step is to communicate those boundaries to the people who need to hear it. And sometimes the person who needs it is us. We are the person that we need to say, don't look at that phone, turn that phone off, put on your do not disturb, say no, you know she's going to ask you something. Maybe we need the boundary with ourselves. Or maybe we need to communicate that boundary to our higher ups, to our boss, to our team. And third, we have to take care of ourselves after we do a really hard thing. Sometimes, you know, boundaries are very hard for us, and we have to make sure that we're not allowing the guilt tripping and wanting to people please to take over how we feel about doing something that is sometimes absolutely necessary because we're starting to have a lot of consequences by not setting the boundary.
I want to look at the second step there. So this communication to another person, does the person you're setting the boundary with have to understand what you're doing?
That's a good question. And I think in tons of cases, we do things without understanding. When a parent says to a small child, "Don't touch the stove," I don't think the child understands, and they hopefully they don't touch the stove, right? Like, you don't have to, if you touch the stove, this will happen. Look, I put my hand on there and burned it, right? Like, we don't have to show them living proof of what happens if you do not listen. So the understanding piece, it could be important, but I think what's more important is respecting the boundary. I may not understand why you can't help me with this particular project, but I still need to honor that you can't.
What about using the B word, boundary? Is that a no-no, or is that something that you've seen work successfully?
We don't have to use the B word. We don't have to use the B word at all. As a matter of fact, I would say don't use it, because it's sometimes it has a negative connotation. And if you tell someone, "I am setting a boundary with you," that doesn't sound good. But if you say to someone, "Can we move this meeting to Wednesday because Tuesdays are very busy for me," that might go over a bit better than, "I need to set this boundary with you. I cannot meet with you on Tuesday." Saying the B word, yeah, I think, puts people on the defensive sometimes.
And I think that probably feels like that would be the experience of many in the workplace. So let's say you do express your boundary with a work colleague in terms of your needs. Aren't they potentially going to think, "Hey, that's a you problem. That's not my problem, Sunshine"?
They could. And I think some of that is their business, depending on what the boundary is. Now, as I mentioned, in work environments, we may need to be flexible depending on what the job is. And that flexibility should be discussed up front. It shouldn't be a surprise that we're working on weekends. It shouldn't be a surprise that we have to travel for work. It should be something that is known. So if people have an issue with it, they have an opportunity to decline.
I'm Lisa Leong. You're listening to This Working Life on ABC Radio National. My guest is Nedra Glover-Tawab. She's a therapist and the author of Set Boundaries, Find Peace, which is a New York Times bestseller. So how do you go about with setting boundaries at work? Love your stories, maybe your tips, and also we're taking your questions. You can email thisworkinglife@abc.net.au or hit the text button on the ABC Listen app. So Nedra, I've got a question for you. It's anonymous. This is not their voice.
In my last job, my boss would send out a flurry of emails about a client project to our team late at night. I think because that's when she was catching up on her inbox. I was never sure whether I needed to respond to them out of hours, and it made me feel stressed. I also didn't want to be the one who didn't respond when other team members had. How can I use a boundary to solve this situation in my next job?
Nedra, what advice do you have for this person and her lack of boundaries with her manager just to help it not follow her around to the next workplace?
I think the boundary is, I need more clarity. Because it could be that this person was firing off emails, as they stated, when it was a time for them to be able to email, but maybe the expectation wasn't that you respond right away. So asking some questions there could have been really helpful. I know I had a situation today where someone emailed me and I didn't respond in a certain amount of time. So they emailed someone else on my team. So that happens sometimes. It's like, "Hey, I emailed you an hour ago. Hey, I'm going to email the both of you." So in those cases, if we could just clarify, "Hey, what is your expectation for a response? Is there a time frame? If this is urgent, is there a way that we can manage this perhaps at an earlier time, so I'll have enough time in my day to build in, you know, this need to respond to this versus at 8 p.m. at night, I'm seeing all these emails from all of my team and I'm not able to respond at that time. So just clarifying what the expectation is could really help this situation. And I don't know, it would be lovely if your boss just put that, you know, send at 8 a.m. on there.
I've got a follow-up question then, Nedra, for you. This is to do with lack of boundaries with her manager. What if there's a power dynamic and it's quite hard to set a boundary with someone who's your manager, Nedra?
Mm-hmm. Again, I think that's room for conversation and noting what the challenge is. It's very hard for me to talk about this because I realize that our roles dictate how we are to behave. And so I'm having trouble talking about this and I want to say, right? So still speaking to whatever that need is and acknowledging that there is some power difference here, but I still have a boundary.
So being really honest about this is probably a little bit awkward to ask you, but I'm receiving your emails at 8 o'clock. And I love the tone as well. I think tonally it's really important rather than setting boundaries, which are, I guess, rules. Like that would be hard to set that with your manager. I don't want like receiving your emails at 8 o'clock at night and having a conversation around it. So good tips there. I've got another question for you, Nedra. Here it is.
Hi there, my name is Melanie and I'm a freelance worker. And I think that means for a lot of my family and friends that I'm free all the time, which I'm actually not. I would love to know how to set boundaries around my time and when I'm available for social so that I don't lose lots of time that I should be working.
Nedra Tawab, what can be done here for Melanie to ensure she ring fences her work?
Well, I think her family heard the free part of freelance, right? So they said, you are free, which is interesting for people who are entrepreneurs or contractors or working freelance jobs. What's really important is to have office hours. Even if your job is really flexible, what times do you typically work? Is it 12 to 6? Is it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 11 to 4? But being able to say, these are my work hours, just as any business would have. And your work hours would be a little different. And sometimes maybe you do initiate some contact during that work, those work hours, but it'll really be up to you to hold those boundaries when people call and you just, you know, maybe you have on a do not disturb or you send them a message and say, hey, I'm working. I'll be done at 5. Let them know what those time frames are. And you can try to be consistent with those so you don't have to keep repeating yourself about what your work hours are.
What happens when you've communicated that and they don't respect it?
I think you have to ignore their calls or you have to respond at a time when you're free. You cannot make them adhere to those boundaries and to not call you. I'm a therapist and when I'm seeing clients, I'm getting calls, but my phone is on do not disturb and silent. So no one is able to penetrate that. And when I have a break, I'll look and I'll say, oh, I can call this person back when I'm able to talk. I think everybody knows I'm working today, but just in case they don't, I don't need to call them and say, hey, I'm at work. I think the message is sent is work hours. It's a time that we've talked about. I'm not available.
So it sounds like the most important person here with setting boundaries is actually yourself because you're the one who keeps the boundaries.
You are the keeper of the boundaries. And often we try to put our boundaries on other people. If I tell them these times, if I say I'm not available at this time, they cannot disturb me when in actuality they can. And what will you do when they disturb you or when they need something that you've communicated you can't offer?
Now, what about a scenario where, say, a life really does depend on a deadline? You might be a healthcare worker and you're dealing with a difficult patient. How do you set a boundary for yourself around a situation like that?
Yes. For health workers, I think caring for yourself is top priority because you put so much care into other people. But there are very, you know, small ways sometimes that we can practice self-care. It could be, you know, going to bed and getting enough rest. It could be making sure that in between patients, we're drinking enough water. It could be stretching before you go into the room with the patient. Maybe it's yelling into a pillow. But there are so many ways that we can just have little bits of taking care of ourselves throughout the day. And that's really with any profession, you know, going outside and putting on your favorite song. If you don't have a whole hour, maybe you have 5 minutes.
And you're a great example of that. I mean, as a therapist, people usually say to you, aren't you completely exhausted by listening to everyone's problems? But you are very good at setting boundaries and you stick to them. So you're a great example of that. Nedra, just got a texter who has a suggestion about working certain hours, and they say if your email signature says what your hours are, that is a nice signifier of a boundary. I think we've seen a bit of that now, don't we, with email signatures?
I do. I don't know if family would respect that one, but
good point. Have to wear it on a t-shirt.
For work, for sure. And also with vacation emails sometimes, if we just put enough information in there, hey, I'm taking 2 weeks off to travel with my family. We'll be exploring wherever and I won't be available to email you back until whatever date. People have enough information to leave you alone.
How do you get over the ick factor, that discomfort of setting a boundary? Because often we're the greatest barrier ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ick factor. I would say that becomes easier the more you practice placing the boundaries. It's really icky at first. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe I did that. However, the more you practice it, people will see you as someone who just effortlessly places boundaries. They're like, so you're so good at it. You don't even care about setting boundaries because you've done it so much. So first, you have to practice, feel bad, practice, feel bad, practice, feel a little bit better, and just keep going with that. And you will get to a point where it's not so bad anymore.
You're listening to This Working Life on ABC Radio National. I'm Lisa Leong with Nedra Glover-Tawab, therapist, author of Set Boundaries, Find Peace, New York Times bestseller. We're setting boundaries at work. We invite your stories, your questions. Email thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. I've got another question for you, Nedra.
How would you set boundaries in a toxic work environment, or do you just have to leave?
Tricky one.
Toxic work environment, that means everything is bad. And if you're in a situation where everything is bad, I don't know if you need to be the advocate for a culture change as much as you need to change your cultural environment, right? So it could be that you accept what the environment is, you figure out a way to work in that environment despite what it is, or you make some small changes where you can. Or you do decide to leave that sort of company. It depends on what you can withstand because everyone's version of what's toxic might be a little bit different. So it's hard to say that if this thing is happening because this thing is really based on who we are and what we're willing or unwilling to deal with. When we think about toxic environments, there are some people in the environment who love it. You know, for them, they're like, this isn't toxic. This is a wonderful workplace. So if it's not working for you, you do have the power to choose if it's a space that you want to stay in.
And would you say before you leave, are there any useful boundary questions that you can ask or set so that you can test a little bit? Oh, is this a toxic workplace?
Yeah, I would say, you know, in many toxic environments, there's always someone who is with us. Have you talked to other people who are experiencing this issue and maybe gotten some information about how they handle it? Is there a team of supports that you could go to report a problem? Is this within a larger organization and it's just your team? So there are so many ways in which we might think about how do I address this issue without leaving this job? Or how do I create an exit strategy? Is it my boss or is it everyone? Because when you say environment, it sounds like everyone, but is it two people or is it everyone? So that's important. The other question that's really important is, what can I do to impact immediate change for myself in this environment? How can I be less disrupted by what's going on here? And three is, am I enduring something that is unacceptable? And if so, is there space for me to report this or to change my environment?
Have you ever seen any negative impacts on setting boundaries on your career, Nedra?
Oh, yes. I think, you know, in some cases, people are ostracized because they've spoken up. People may be looked over for promotions. People may be bullied at work for setting boundaries. Adults sometimes aren't the nicest, and you might be teased. Oh, I know you need to leave because you have stuff to do, you know. So people might become a bit passive aggressive with you because you've set some boundaries.
Yeah.
And in those cases, it's best to just notice aloud what you're experiencing. It seems like since I set the boundary around X, Y, and Z, your response has been, you know, not letting those situations slide, because when we allow them to just keep going, there's no resolution for us. And that's when things become a toxic work environment. I've tried to set boundaries. I've not been heard. And now this is an unhealthy environment for me. So speaking up can be a powerful tool to rescue yourself from a toxic environment. And then also, I would say, you know, if you feel like you're being ostracized or you have some consequences because of the boundaries you've set, again, are there people that you could go to help you manage some of the blowback from placing boundaries?
So finally, how do you tread that line between doing a good job, being a team player, and taking care of yourself?
I think a wonderful way to tread that line is to remember that other people have boundaries too. And sometimes in work environments, the organizational boundaries may not fit our personal boundaries. It may not be a wonderful alignment with our values. And so we have to consider that in our work life, because we spend a lot of time at work. It doesn't mean you have to change your career or leave your company, but it is room for assessment. It's really important to think about, how does this align with who I am? Is there anything, maybe I do need to be more flexible, because sometimes your boundaries can be too rigid.
Beautiful.
So noticing when something needs to shift or when it needs to stay the same.
Thanks so much, Nedra.
Thank you.
Nedra Glover-Tawab is a therapist and author of Set Boundaries, Find Peace, which is a New York Times bestseller. And a beautiful text here. My brother runs his own business and lives in the space he works. He said to me, I generally work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, so I probably can't talk during those times. I respect that. And we generally text to coordinate a time to chat on the phone. No problem. I think setting boundaries gets easier when you realise how necessary it is. Thanks for that great text. Up next, try this. A new hack for you to try this week. Each week on Try This, we give you hacks and suggestions around something you can use to make your work life better. And we ask you to report back as well. And as we just heard from Nedra, setting boundaries at work can be really helpful. Will you give it a try this week with me? So I've shared Nedra Tawab's 3-step guide to setting better boundaries at work on my LinkedIn page. You can check it out there. But here's a summary of her 3 steps. Step 1, identify the boundary you need to set. For example, how you'd prefer to communicate with your coworker or boss. Step 2, think about how and when to make the statement about that boundary. You don't have to use the B word. The sooner the better. So make sure you pick an appropriate time and communicate it clearly. Step 3, stick to the boundary you've set. If you've made a boundary about no messaging after 6, for example, don't respond in the group chat after that time. So I want you to try setting 1 boundary this week at work, following those 3 steps, and report back. You can record a voice memo into your phone and email it to us at thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. We love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening to This Working Life with me, Lisa Leong, produced by Michelle Weeks and engineered by Richard Gervin. We're on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. Meet me here again next Friday, live from 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Savings Time. We'll put up another question on LinkedIn next week for you to ponder as well. Until then, love your work.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.